I enjoyed this week was having coffee with a retired educator friend of mine. He is a fun guy and very bright. He challenges my thinking. He is also an agnostic. And so there are many times that he's chipping away. It seems like he's got a lot of questions about Christianity that he likes to kind of chip away at. And there are times when I have to say, you know what? You're right. That's not Christianity at its best. When he talks about it, you're right. But I have been on the hunt for some kind of imagery, some kind of word to help him re-engage again with Christ. And we were in a discussion about how many missionaries over the years have just blown it. And this is one of the things that he chips away at, have just blown it and got it wrong and brought all their Western culture to other places. And I said, I think you're right there as well. But this story about the book Peace Child came to my mind. And it's an amazing story. If you haven't read it or seen the movie about it, but it's a remarkable story. And I told him about this couple who was working with this in this very frustrating environment. The tribes that they were working with were warring with each other all the time. They had some very unique practices of eating their enemies. I mean, literally, eating their enemies. And they had just about had it, this couple, ready to go home. And the thing that kind of pushed it to the end was they were telling the story about how Judas betrayed Jesus. And everybody stood up and shouted hooray, and hooray. They thought Judas was a hero. To have tricked a person so well, and this is they would think of, particularly of their enemy, to have tricked them so well that they could win their confidence and then be a part of their undoing was the epitome of what they were about. Couples going, what do I do? This, how do I communicate Christ in this kind of thing? And so they said they were going to leave because of all the warring that was going on, and they begged them to stay. And one of the chief found a way of managing a peace. One chief would exchange their child with a child from the other chief's family. And that was known as the peace child. As long as that child remained in their home, there would be peace. And I mentioned this to my friend. I said, and these children, Jesus was God's peace child. And it was a fresh, new, hard look at who Jesus was from completely different perspective. The customary antagonism that I've noticed in him seemed to just wash out for a moment. And he listened to that particular story. So I'm celebrating today that I got to, in some way, share something that with my friend that I think may have been helpful, a new way of looking at that. It reminds me about what Jesus said. He said, my meat or what satisfies me is to do the will of my Father. And I don't know all that means, but I think I felt God's satisfaction after we finished our conversation. So I'm grateful for that today. We're looking at a review of two more themes in our series about equipping. If you want to pull your outlines out of the bulletin. There is an outline there for you as well. This morning we're going to take a look at what it means to be followers of Christ, and that we are meant to demonstrate caring, humility, authenticity, and a willingness to be accountable as we serve others in the body of Christ. In short, all followers of Christ are servants. They are servants of others. We enroll in that. As we become followers of Christ, we become servants of the Lord. And one message that we looked at followed this basic outline: the equipping of the servant leader, the supreme example that we find in Jesus as a servant leader, the call that Jesus places on us as his servants, and some enemies of the servant leader, and the best of servant leaders. Want to just take a look at that real quick. And as we do enter into this time, would you pray with me? Lord, it is so difficult to set aside what is conventional wisdom in our world about authority and leadership. We pray that you give us the courage to try something new in our company, trusting that your wisdom to guide a community of followers is a better kind of wisdom. You have gifted us with a spirit of service here. And I'm so grateful for that, Lord. A kind of spirit of serving that's strong and loving and wise. But we trust that you will help us to know better how to care for each other as we become servants of each other, and to build a community of care among ourselves. Lord, every day we have struggles following your example of loving service to others. We pray that you'd help us find in ourselves a shared ministry of healing. And we realize that this kind of work is not just ours. You don't leave us alone to do it all on our own. Help us as we reflect on this issue of following as Jesus leads. We ask this in your name. Amen. In terms of equipping the servant leader, you find the first text listed there is John 13, verses 14 through 15. And this is where Jesus, when he'd finished washing the feet of his disciples, put on his clothes and returned to his place. And he said, "Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly you're saying that. But now that I, as your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash each other's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." So there is Jesus teaching us about our place in following him, that we will be servants just like him. He is the supreme example. In Matthew 20, verse 25 through 28, it says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high officials exercised authority over them." That's what he sets up as the cultural example of what it means to lead in his culture. And that's very true in our culture as well. "Not so with you." In the company of the committed, in the company of followers of Christ, it's not so with you. "Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. As the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." So there's our example. And then there's a call to be his servants. This was the two texts that you see there is an occasion where the disciples were arguing about who would be the greatest. And sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, If anyone wants to be first, he must be very last and the servant of all. And he took a child and stood the child in their midst. And he said, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. So an example of a child being welcomed to the adult activity and treasured in his presence was counterculture. Children were owned. They were part of one's property. And he places the child here in their midst and says, this is what you become like. The enemies of the servant leader, John the Apostle mentions in 1 John 2, verse 15 and 17, says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, now that this is going to be a description of what he wants us to avoid, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and all its desires pass away, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. So, to do God's will, then we become his servants. We follow Jesus as our example. And then the best kind of servant leaders, there's a cryptic reference to this in Acts chapter 9, verse 39. You hear so little about this person who's called Tabitha at one point, and then Dorcas is her name at another point. The occasion was she passed away, became sick immediately, and then just passed away. They laid her body in an upper room, prepared it, cleansed it, and then ran and got Peter. Peter comes in and to the room, and he says, everybody leave, and he kneels down and prays, and then he turns to Dorcas and says, Dorcas, get up. And she became alive and got up. Well, that's the story about a miracle that occurred, but I'd like to back up just a little bit to just before Peter got there. And as he came in, there was all this lament and mourning going on. And what in particular a lot of the women were saying is, she loved us. She made this for me, and she made this for me, and she made this for me. She was the kind of person that apparently loved people through her action, her talents, and even her resources, and didn't expect a return from it. So she's a wonderful example of that. And the second thought here about the best servant leaders are those who can serve in hiddenness and serve for the long haul, even if their work is hidden. So there's the text that we went through that Sunday. I'd like to just briefly try to recount what we think are the best qualities of the servant leader. The best qualities, let's try to describe the servant leader. Humble. Okay? They don't insist on their own way. Could you all hear that? Okay. Approachable. Competent. They give appreciation. They seem to be in the right place at the right time. Willing to admit if they're wrong. They're willing to jump in where the work is, yes. Don't care who gets the credit. Tries to keep everybody involved. I wrote down a few others. Listens well to others and reflects on their thoughts, hopes, hurts, and dreams. Assumes the best intentions of others and appreciates the uniqueness of others. Is on a personal search for wholeness, and encourages the same in others. I don't think servant leaders, the ones that I've run into, give me the impression that none of them have given me the impression that they've arrived. And they realize that they're in a process, in a search for the wholeness that God is bringing to them, and encourages the same in others. And maybe everybody in their company, at least on some level, realizes that they too are in a search for wholeness. Well, so those are some of the things about that. What don't we get or understand about servant leadership? What's a question mark in your mind? What don't we get or understand about servant leadership? Yes? A job description. We don't get a job description. It's primarily being how you are with others very often. Gifts send you in that direction, maybe. Nudges from the Holy Spirit. One of the questions that I wondered about is, how do I do servant leadership? How do I do servant leadership? We'll look at that a little bit more. That's one question. And I think another one is, how do we keep people from taking advantages of us if we are servant leaders? That you need to set some boundaries, and it's okay to set some boundaries. It's healthy to set boundaries, okay? Any other answers to that? Maintaining balance in your life? Yeah. Because serving can take you down a path toward exhaustion if you don't have balance. Creating other leaders. Okay? Very good. Learn to say no. This one about creating other leaders intrigues me. That's a solution to exhaustion. And really, this is what equipping is about. We're equipping ourselves and equipping others to share kingdom ministry or service. Yes? Part of delegating. Providing information and help and presence to do something so that somebody else can lead. And opportunity. Great. Well, what do we not like about the idea of servant leadership? Let's reflect on that a little bit. Sometimes we might not venture out there if there's something we don't like about it. Yes? It can reveal our flaws. Okay? When you're trying to help and people aren't responding. Oh, yes. Trying to be helpful. Yes? It can be thankless. It can be thankless. Certainly. It takes work. That's just true. That's the truth about it. It is work. It is work. Not enough credit. Lack of recognition. It was one that I thought was mentioned. And this quote says, "Learn the lesson that if you do the work of a prophet, what you need is not a scepter but a hoe." Thinking that you should get more feedback, more do that can be part of that. The personal cost, I expressed it this way, expecting a king's rewards in a servant's labor. We are servants. That should be part of our mental approach. Something that we don't like, it's not about me. It's not necessarily about me. Serving for one and the one is not God. Yeah. Those are some things that we don't like about it. There are some benefits to service. One is it is expansive to our souls. You know, when we serve, we begin to balance self-absorption with healthy interest in others. That's based on the idea that we're made to be together in meaningful and helpful ways. I mentioned just getting a glimpse of sharing the kind of satisfaction that Jesus had in that conversation that I had with my friend. Sharing in Jesus' joy is certainly part. Christ's joy over us and others through servant leadership. And then we can mature if we're in servant leadership. I'll just read a quote that describes what I would call a growing up faith, a growing up experience. William Law wrote this. He says, and just try to work with the language. It's not everyday language, but you'll get the tenor of it. Condescend to all the weaknesses and infirmities of your fellow human beings. Cover their frailties. Love their excellencies. Encourage their virtues. Relieve their wants. Rejoice in their prosperities. Be compassionate about their distress. Receive their friendship. Overlook their unkindness. Forgive their malice. Be a servant of servants and condescend to do the lowliest offices to the lowliest of humankind. When that's going on, our souls are probably being expanded, even if it's hard work. It can meet deep needs, social, hospitality, friendship, emotional, physical, spiritual. How do we know when we're living servant leadership? Just pause there for a moment. How do we know when we're living servant leadership? Our agenda is full. We're busy. You're able to be content with the results. Thank you for that qualification. Sure. Yeah, leadership, I think that's a good thing to focus on, because again, the word leadership comes with a lot of our cultural baggage related to that. But when you talk about the exercise of a gift, in a sense, in a way, you lead from that gift. You serve from that gift. You lead, the best of servant leadership is it provides influence, and it may persuade, but it is not autocratic and control-based and things of that nature. Yes. Yeah. It may. I'll have to think about organization and leadership. My general thought is this, that leaders, that you all lead in some way. Wherever you are, whatever you do, you're leading in some way. You're showing others how or what. Yes? Yes. So, yes? Anything else? By example. Example can be leadership. Absolutely. Very good. A servant leadership leader should keep that in mind, that they're serving people, and that what we tend to flood leadership with is the word authority. That authority in itself, in almost any circumstances, is limited. It should be limited. The sense in the exercise of it is different. I don't think if we believe that there is something wonderful about the good news of Christ, we should use the gift of our influence to share that with other people. And in fact, Paul says, "And I persuade men." He wants to use his influence to persuade people to know and trust in Christ. That those are healthy things that we should have as part of that. But this issue of control and is something that we need to be careful about. How to know when we're doing it or not? That is a tough one. How to know when we're doing it or not? One of the ways has already been mentioned. When our servant leading is more about others becoming healthier, wiser, freer, and have learned how to be of service to others. That seems to be that perspective that I keep hearing this morning. What is your perspective when you're doing this? A second thing, I want to just list a few things just so that you think about the realities of servant leadership. And servant leadership can be exercised in the home. It can be exercised in the family. It can be exercised at work, in whatever relationship you have, at work with others, and in church. How to know when we are doing it or not? When you experience the uninvolved, the uncaring, and the ungrateful, and you feel that it's work, and you're being called out of a typical reaction and into a reaction where you're trying to find out the best good in the moment, because you're going to run into that. Have you? Oh, yes, you have. When you experience passive aggressiveness and sabotage, you are in a place where often servant leadership is tested. Both of those things, the passive aggressiveness and sabotage, are unhealthy in families, workplaces, and churches. So serving would actually speak to that. It would address it so that for the health of the group, whatever group that's in. You're all quiet here. Okay. When you are functioning at what you feels like is your best and others behave their worst. Have you been there? This is tough. This is where servant leadership often finds itself. How do I honestly reflect the character and presence of Christ and bring what is life-giving into the situation? The next one: when you're attacked at the level of something that you believe is the strength in your life. This is tough. This is when it's really tough to continue to be a serve. This is where people shell out and walk away. Right here. When we get lost in our serving, I heard someone talk about that. That the focus is this is when it's at its best. When you're lost in the act of serving, you don't notice yourself. That's one way you begin to realize that you're doing it. You're lost in your serving. When you can worship as you do it. This wonderful book called Practicing the Presence of God is just a neat book. And if a person can worship God doing the dishes and mopping the floor for others, you can make these acts of service the same kind of thing. When you are focused on the other. Any thoughts here as we've looked at those things? Let's take a look at this. A couple of questions here, reflections. How likely are you to put these two ideas together in anything you do? Servant and leadership. And are there contexts in your life where you need to grow as a servant leader? I listed several contexts of life. And where might that actually be? Would you join me in a word of prayer? We thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing us a different way, for making it clear that your way is not the same as the world's way. We know that we are meant to be servants, servant leaders with an altogether different character. And we realize that this kind of servanthood doesn't come naturally to us. So if we're going to be servant leaders, we're going to need your help. In fact, you've got your work cut out for you to make us into what we need to be for each other's sake and for your son's sake. We do pray that that work which you've begun in us, you would continue so that we could reflect the character and concerns of our Savior. I would pray, Lord Jesus, as well, that you would help me to be a servant leader in this fellowship of my brothers and sisters. I pray that you'd help me see their needs to reach out and care for them. May I lift up those who you have brought together here, seeking to honor and acknowledge their contributions. I pray that you'd help me to exercise my gifts with humility, always seeing myself first and foremost as your servant and therefore the servant of these dear people. I pray this in your name. Amen. The Lord bless you as you go today. You're dismissed.